Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and today's episode is entitled Iesus, the Foss, or the Light of Paul's Life. And once again, I'd like to draw your attention to Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, that is, Saul, trembling and astonished, the word here means to stupefy, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. It is evident that a powerful event occurred on the road to Damascus in the life of Saul. It is evident that what happened was a powerful hiatus. The old eon had completely collapsed. Paul's old mission had completely collapsed. Everything that he was before had been dissolved, torn down, as it were, because we see that his life was dramatically transformed by this encounter with the resurrected and ascended Jesus, who has now made his appearance in a powerful manner in the life of Saul. John chapter 1 tells us that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, or the darkness did not overtake it. The darkness that was in Paul's life, or I should say in Saul's life, has now been supplanted by the light of the person of Jesus. And I want to keep emphasizing the fact that this encounter that Saul had radically changed him. He was in the presence of God himself. And the darkness that was his life, and I'm using the word darkness in the sense of the Greek New Testament, the skotia, that was in his life, is gone. I'd like to draw your attention to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, Jesus says these wonderful words to us. First, I'm going to go to John 8, and then we will go back to John chapter 10. In John 8, verse 12, we read, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." I want to draw your attention to the term I am. It is the great I am formula from Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And it is joined together with these words. So we have ego I me, and we have an article before the noun light. And so the article in the Greek is different, and I don't have time to go into it here, but it says, ego eimi, the thos. And thos, once again, is a Greek word for light. Another article follows the noun thos, which has a genitive ending, I am the light of the cosmos. And the term cosmos has also the genitive case ending. And it points to us possession. And so there's a very powerful picture given to us by the Asus in music or in saying, I am the light of the cosmos. Kenneth Weiss would probably say, I, in contradistinction to all others, am the light, the one and only light of the cosmos. The Asus sits himself off completely and other than any other messianic personage or figure in the past or any supposed messianic figure during his time and in the future, which points to our time. Now, you and I know that we're told in the last days of the eschaton, there will arise a figure who is called the man of sin, who will claim that he is God. And he will seek to say that he is God himself. And we read also that he will blaspheme the God of heaven. He will hurl incredible, unimaginative blasphemies toward the throne of God. But here, the Jesus states in no uncertain terms who he is in the cosmos. And the cosmos is, this word is the word from which we get our word cosmetics. And it means to adorn. It means to make beautiful or to see as beautiful. And so one gets the idea of the temptation and temptation tools that are inherent in the cosmos with its philosophies, its viewpoints, its political structures, its wealth, its delicacies, its enjoyments, its pleasures, what it promotes on its behalf as being more wonderful than the life that God could offer anyone. So therefore, it is attractive. It is appealing. It is powerful. And Jesus or the Jesus knew the compelling power of the cosmos and its allurement, seduction, and its seductive power, its ability to manipulate, its ability to pontificate, and to put forth a view of life that is inherently diminishing, a view of life that is inherently destructive, and that ultimately leads to ruin. Verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. So therefore, we have given to us this very powerful picture of who he is and what he has come to give to all. One would think, in some circles, well, why would God want an individual like Saul, given his history of making havoc and ruin of the church, given his history of abuse toward the people of God, why would God want him? Why would God choose him? Knowing his history, and if God is all-knowing, why such an individual like Paul? And so I submit to you that Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, is a picture of hope. Jesus said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. We know these words. But where is that in the life of Paul? Jesus knew what his mission was and what he was going to do in Damascus. He knew this. Oida, he had an absolute awareness of what Saul's mission was, who Saul was, what he had been engaged in. He knew all these things. He knew him completely. And so I submit to you today that those who are called of God do not completely understand his plan for their lives, but let me assure you that God knows his plan for you and me. You see the personalities with whom God worked in the scriptures. And very few of these individuals would be classified as good on our scale of good, on our continuum of good or what is acceptable. Here is Saul. He is a religious gangster. He is the 007 of the Pharisees. He has a license to kill. And he has used that power. And he will continue to use that power to havoc the church of God. And we read in the scripture that known unto God are his purposes from the beginning. And so, who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Now we're dealing with the sovereignty of God and the divine sovereignty submits to no individual. We're talking or speaking about God's own purposes, what God has designed. And so Paul is an intrinsic part of the plan of God. And the Iesus, who is the light of the cosmos, who is the light of the world, has moved in on the life of Saul. It is interesting that light gives life. The leaves of plants use light, use solar energy in order to manufacture food. We call this process photosynthesis. The human eye, the optic nerve of the human eye, only perceives 1/1,000,000th of the electromagnetic spectrum. Our bodies require solar energy in order to make vitamin D. Light exposes, light transforms, light gives life. And so in John 8, verse 12, when the Jesus states that he is the light of the cosmos, he is not using a simile. A simile is a figure of speech in which two unlike things are explicitly compared, and it uses words like, as, so, and then. And neither is it a metaphor. A metaphor asserts or describes a subject by stating that it is on some point of comparison, the same as another otherwise unrelated object. And neither is it an analogy. An analogy shows how two different things are similar. So what we're given in John 8:12 is the classic I am formula of Exodus 3:14, plus a determinative word picture. That is, a word picture of inherent or intrinsic meaning. And so it is this one who Paul met. It is this one who encountered Paul. This meeting that Paul had with the Jesus on the road to Damascus will never leave his mind. It will forever remain in his heart as the pivotal event of his life. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 16, we have these words: who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. And so this event remained in Paul's mind. This meeting that he had with the Jesus would remain the central motif of his life. And so Paul would grow in his understanding of Jesus and of what he had done for him specifically. And Paul, according to his letter to the Galatians, would take some time, and he would go away. And he would amass for himself what this event meant. He would fill his heart with the Word of God, and always ringing within his experience would be what had happened on the road to Damascus as the pivotal event that changed his life forevermore. So Paul saw Jesus. He saw the resurrected Lord. And whom he saw changed his life once again forevermore. This is what 1 John tells us about the light, or has to communicate to us about the nature of the light that is Jesus. This is 1 John 1:5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. Notice the words. This then is the message which we have heard of him. And notice that the New Testament writers do not speak from their own subjective experience. They do not talk about their own private or personal visions. They in no way entertain in any of their writings any thought of subjectivism or what they have generated from themselves, their own unique insight. But they communicate exclusively, as did the prophets of the Old Testament, is thus saith the Lord, expressed through their personality. And so verse 5 reads, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. Or, literally in the Greek text, that the God, or ho theos, thos is. And that's the literal translation. That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And so within the divine essence, darkness does not reside. Within the divine essence, there is only unapproachable, inscrutable purity. And so this is John's understanding. This is John's relationship with the Jesus that he communicates. And notice, much like Paul, God is light. God is light. If we say, verse 6, that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, now we're back to John 8:12, we lie and do not the truth. And notice John's words, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. And so what John brings before us is what people say with their lips or with their mouth, and then their actions. Always watch and note the action over and above what is said. It is the way of the Old Testament. It is the way of Hebrew theology. It is the way the Hebrews viewed life through action. In no way was it a Greek approach to life in which we deal with words or sophistry. or eloquence. Paul told the church at Corinth that he did not come to them with words of eloquence because he did not want their spiritual lives or their faith to dwell in the eloquence of men. He wanted their spiritual lives to reside only within the power of God. Paul did not want to draw attention to himself, but to the power of the Word of God. And this is a radical testimony of the change that had occurred in Paul's life, in that on the road to Damascus, on his mission, it was all about Paul and what he was going to do to the people of God. But now, because of the gospel and how his life had been transformed, Paul understood that Jesus is all in all. We are his church. We are the redeemed ones whom he has purchased out of the agora, out of the slave market of sin. We are not our own. We were bought with a price, and we are told to therefore glorify God. But the cosmic system seeks to keep us bewildered and enslaved to its viewpoint. God wants and does deliver us from the cosmic system and from the enslavement that the cosmos wants in our lives. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light or order our steps in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so it becomes very important for us to understand. This is what God is doing today. This is God's message to us today. This is the pivotal message of the life of Paul, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We can therefore trust him, and many of us have problems with trust because of the abuse that we have suffered in the past, in that we have placed trust or naively placed trust in persons who were less than trustworthy. Let me say this morning that God is worthy of your trust, and God will give you a new life. And the life that God offers you is a life in which you will find great pleasure, you will find great freedom, you will know in your heart that you have a relationship or you are in koinonia with the living God, the same who transformed Paul's life is still transforming lives today. Have you or are you on your road to Damascus? Let me say to you that God has a new life for you this morning, and God wants you to surrender yourself to him that you might know the life, the wonderful life that he gave to the Apostle Paul himself. God bless you. I will speak with you next time on the Matter Conference. Have a great day.